That is a good song. Like it. All right. Is that Janelle Monáe? Is that right? Tightrope? Well done. 638 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Joining us now, the Escambia County Administrator Janice Gilley is on the line. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I want to clear up one story that has been, it's kind of been rumbling around for a couple of days. WKRG had this story, I think, on Monday, and we just didn't get to it on Tuesday with Chip Simmons. But we have a story about a corrections officer locally, but I want to give you a chance to address this because I think this is the kind of thing that can at least clear a little bit up. This corrections officer is alleged to have gone on Tinder using a fake name, gotten into a relationship with somebody, and somehow or other she tries to break up with him, and then he's got gloves and zip ties in the car and tries to kidnap her, allegedly, and she gets away and he gets arrested. This is a horrible story. The only, if there is a good news note, the good news note, I think, is this one of ours?
No, sir. This is not an Escambia County Corrections Officer. We're very fortunate to have very professional men and women work for us, and this is not one of our employees.
All
so
right.
I definitely want the community to be aware of that.
All right, very good. So not an Escambia County employee. I guess if he's local, that would mean it would have to be a state prison employee, but I'm assuming that you probably can't comment other than to say it's not ours. Is that fair?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I appreciate that. The other thing, we've had this census has been such a hot mess of when it's going to be done and when it's not going to be done. And now we have a deadline and we don't have a deadline. I think the correct information is it is still operating for another couple of days until the 5th of October, according to a tweet from the Commerce Department reported by USA Today on Monday. That's where we're at trying to figure out this thing. For people who have not yet done their census, for whatever reason, I know this has been a passion project of yours to emphasize it, but can you just give them the 30-second, like, here's why to do it?
Yeah, the reason to do it is whenever you have census helps us, number one, with our federal delegation in terms of knowing how many representatives just the state of Florida in general has and how many are in our particular congressional district. And then and second of all, it's related to funding sources, whether it be federal transportation dollars, whether it be health Department of Health dollars, agricultural. I mean, there are so many things that are predicated on the number of people that are counted in our community that we just, quite frankly, sometimes take for granted because, you know, we just assume, well, we pay our federal tax dollars and so they're going to come back to us. And that's just not the case. There are a lot of calculations that are predicated on the number of people that fill out the census in our community. So it's extremely important. Because we do have a lot. If the more uncounted individuals that you have with the federal census, the more people that we as a community are, you know, have to take care of or have to make sure we have the right transportation modes and things like that for without federal assistance. So it's just really, really important that the citizens take the I don't think it takes more than 2 minutes from the time you get on the app or the web and fill it out. It's that simple.
It's very simple. It's a constitutional duty, and as you say, it puts us in a position where we aren't providing services that aren't being properly compensated for by the federal government for the things that they do compensate us for. So very important, and again, you've got another 4 days, so let's just make sure that we get that done. Speaking of the federal government and compensation, we are still, correct me if something has changed, but I believe we are still without an individual assistance declaration for Hurricane Sally from FEMA. Is that right?
We are. Unfortunately, we have not gotten that yet. However, I would say this, the amount of coordination and effort that has gone on between the county, the commissioners, the federal delegation, Congressman Gates, it has been unbelievable. The state director of emergency management, the assistant director of emergency management, our FEMA officer, our local coordinating officer, I mean, everybody is fully engaged in trying to get this. You know, it's interesting. Hurricane Ivan, it took 10 days to get, you know, to get those declarations after Ivan. We were able to get the full public assistance last week. And then yesterday, Santa Rosa got theirs, which was almost 2 weeks after the storm. Well, it was 2 weeks after the storm. So things are maybe moving a little bit slower in the sense that they're just trying to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. But the good news is The numbers that we've provided, FEMA did come back, I believe it was Tuesday night, do some evaluations. There were more evaluations done yesterday. So they clearly see the widespread damage that we have. It's just taking a while to get those, to get that final assistance across the finish line. The other thing I would mention that I've mentioned before is there are 13 counties that are part of this declaration. And so what FEMA has been doing, they have to go to every single one of those counties and do the assessment on all of the public and individual damage. And so if I remember correctly, so today's Thursday, on Tuesday we had a call, and FEMA was just now getting to counties like Liberty and Gadsden and Franklin yesterday.
Wow.
So there's a lot to this. You know, we were very fortunate in Escambia to be broken away from the group when we got the public assistance last week, and now Santa Rosa has joined us in being broken away from the 13, you know, because normally they would want to give all the declaration at one time to all the counties in an event.
Right.
Well,
we're obviously looking for that IA declaration. I don't have it on the top of my head. What is the email for? It's something at myescambia.com. Is it Hurricane Sally?
We were using Hurricane Sally at myescambia.com. And we sent up, I believe it was almost 16 gigabytes of data of videos and photographs from over 1,500 communications with our citizens to the state, our federal delegation, and to FEMA to demonstrate the magnitude of the damage.
Wow, that's good. Well, that's
good.
Our
citizens have been very engaged.
And, you know, just it occurs to me that as we yesterday we spent all of this effort raising, you know, about $250,000, a little more than $250,000 for United Way of West Florida. Janice, your team and you have been very engaged in transportation alternatives now that the Three Mile Bridge is out. I know you guys had another ferry summit this week. Anything you can tell us to update us on where we stand in terms of anything that's going to solve the outage of Three Mile Bridge?
Yeah, I mean, the coordination in this effort has been amazing as well. The Florida Department of Transportation, the City of Gulf Breeze, the City of Pensacola, our county traffic engineers, our entire county traffic department. So we provided a white paper yesterday to the state to express to them, you know, how we would manage this system and how, you know, we would ask for it to be procured, right? Because you have to procure the ferry service.
Right.
And so the state would be helping us with that. So we've met our deliverable in terms of providing the white paper, and we'll be providing an update to the commissioners this morning at the agenda review. The other thing that we're doing is we are providing a bus route that will be going from Gulf Breeze to Pensacola as an alternative for those that need that as well.
Okay.
So there will be a bus route that Escambia County will be providing through the county of Santa Rosa, you know, through their county, and then we will the ferry system is the other piece. I will be honest with you, I don't think we can do without a ferry. So everybody, you know, just have patience, but it's something that's got to happen. I also hope that it's an opportunity for us to consider alternative ways of travel in our community. Ferries are not uncommon in other parts of the country,
right,
and the world, as a matter of fact. It's a very common type of transportation. And, you know, I just think maybe we're ripe for it. You know, people, there is Wi-Fi typically on the ferry, so people can work while they're commuting. So, you know, it's a good alternative.
You know, we were talking to Sam Abel, city manager of Gulf Breeze, the other day this week, and, you know, I'd asked her about pricing, and she said the goal is zero. The goal is for it to be free,
yes,
the same price as a road. Is that still the target that we're really, is it trying,
yes,
or expecting? How would you describe that?
So I would say our expectation is that it's zero to begin with. You know, if it is a mode of transportation that works out for the future, of course, that may be a different conversation. However, you know, they're subsidized. It doesn't matter where the ferry is, it's subsidized. It doesn't matter where in the world it is. It's subsidized by the government, but it does help with other emissions, with other, you know, environmental issues automobiles on the road. I mean, there are so many things that there are benefits to having this other mode of transportation.
Right. I mean, obviously, we pay a substantial amount of money to have roads, and if ferry is an alternate mm-hmm. transportation mechanism, there's no reason that you wouldn't think the same way about providing for that for people. Janice, I know this morning you got a big discussion about bed tax going up. I won't put you in the awkward mm-hmm. position of having to pick sides on that. That's for them to decide and you to implement. But I know a lot of times you like to ask me a question. Did you have one for this week?
Oh, my goodness. So who won the debate?
Everybody who watched baseball.
I heard you say that. I thought that might be your...
That's my only
answer. I did
answer.
Think you also had a very interesting take on the undecideds as well. I mean, it's a...
Know, there's certain people that just can't make up their mind, right? And so... That's who's undecided. It's not people who are lacking information. It's people who, no matter what information you give them, they're not going to be
okay,
able to
pick. Okay, the only other question is the Supreme Court nominee going to get are they going to get the vote?
I will tell you, I had been hoping this was going to be civil, but they're going to go after her on religious grounds for her association with this one group that she's in, and I think it's going to get ugly in unanticipated ways. I hope she gets confirmed. I do. I think she will, but I'm probably voting more with my heart than with the facts. We'll see. It's going to be a lot uglier than I had hoped for, unfortunately. Janice, always a pleasure to have you on. Janice Gillies, the Escambia County Administrator. Agenda review starts this morning at 9. I know you got a lot of work to do. Thanks for taking some time out this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.